Hello, interested in Freemasonry? Want to find out more? Then stay tuned in with Matt and Andy, who'll be discussing everything Freemasonry with guest speakers who delve into their own journey through the craft. Grab a beverage, pop your earbuds in, sit back and relax. Welcome to the Oxfordshire Light Blues Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Oxfordshire Light Blues podcast. As always, I'm joined with my co-host, Andy. Andy, how are you getting on?
I'm okay, thanks, Matt. It's been a long time since we had our last episode up and running, but yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, and I think, well, now we're in person as well, which is a big upgrade. It's high definition.
Hopefully the sound's better as well. Not sure about the content, though.
So, today we're joined, very excited to be joined with, by Trevor Ballinger. Trevor, how are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm getting on well. It's a nice sunny day out there, and I think we're still full of the joys of summer, really. It's just holding on to it as long as we can.
Yeah, definitely. That heat wave last week was a nice surprise, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be with us for a few days yet, so let's take advantage of it.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, thanks for coming along, Trevor. Obviously, we're here to talk about yourself and a little bits and pieces about what you do around the province and further, possibly. Okay, well, Trevor, again, thanks for coming along. Can you just give us a bit of a background as to how and when you became a Freemason? When did you hear about Freemasonry?
Started when I'd left full paid employment, and I did some part-time jobs, and after they fizzled out, I looked around to do some voluntary work. I applied to a number of organizations, and Freemasonry drew the short straw. and I, with my secure services background, I was then put into Exemplo Lodge, Exemplo Ducamus in Bicester, because they're based on a military police experiences. Mm-hmm. And a lodge was quite a new lodge. It was founded in 2000 and consecrated in 2001. And for some years, I was the newest member of the newest lodge in Oxfordshire. That was my first claim to fame.
All right. So before you actually became a Freemason, how specifically did you find out about Freemasonry? Was it just about looking online, or did you find it yourself, or have you heard about it before?
I'd heard about it before, but not very much. And I was surprised that after I joined and told a few work colleagues, because I was trying to be open about Freemasonry, I think that's one of the things that we need to do. They said, "Oh yeah, we're Freemasons too, and we think you'll make a good Mason." I said, "Thanks, you know, it's something." You could have mentioned it earlier. Yeah. I could have gone into it earlier.
Well, talking about that, obviously, in relative terms, your Masonic career is pretty new, considering all the members we have in the Oxfordshire province.
Yeah, it's about 6 years.
Yeah. So that's it's quite new, really, isn't it? In the grand scheme of things. Yeah. You mentioned as well, you've got your mother lodge, Exemplo.
That's right, Exemplo Ducamus.
Brilliant.
Which is the motto of the military police, by example, I lead.
Getting a Latin lesson this morning as well.
Brilliant.
Could you talk a bit about your sort of journey in the lodge so far? What offices have you done? And
I've moved slowly through the ranks, and I'm currently junior warden. And because of the stall of COVID, we'll probably be holding our offices for quite a while yet. But when I became Master Mason within 3 years, which was sort of two and a half, 3 years, which I thought was good, I volunteered, like we all do, in Freemasonry at gunpoint, into a charity steward. And I looked at the job of charity steward, and apart from just raising money and trying to extricate pennies from various members into the charity funds, I discovered that also giving is also about volunteering, and which I then looked around to volunteer and support as many organisations locally within Bicester as I could. So I, just with the the job of the charity steward is also, I feel it's also a job where you support the provincial charity steward as well. And that's, it's really a nice job. You get to do so many things, meet so many people, so many nice people and good people who are running charities and volunteer organisations. And it does a lot for you.
I think that's a really valid point that you mentioned about charity work and volunteer work, because I think a lot of people, when they think about charity, they think about financial donations, but it's not just about financial donations, is it? It's about giving your time as well. You mentioned volunteer work. So what sort of volunteer work have you been involved in?
Well, I'm a member of some organisations in Bicester, Bicester Good Neighbour Scheme, who do a lot with people who are isolated, lonely, probably don't have a lot of contact with the outside world, and we visit them and telephone calls and maybe a weekly visit and a chat over a cup of tea and a biscuit, and maybe do a few jobs for them, maybe change a light bulb or do a bit of light gardening for them, and maybe running an errand, picking up a prescription or something. And that does an awful lot for their social, to help break that social isolation. They and they begin to feel better for it too. They enjoy, you know, and look forward to our visits and our contact. And it does a lot for their well-being, for their mental health. And it's very rewarding also for the person who's doing the job, you know, to know that they managed to give somebody some of their time and just some of their social aspects. There is the Green Gym that I take part in weekly. We get together a group of volunteers in keeping a lot of the hedgerows around the blue line walks in Bicester cut back, litter picking. They work at the new Launton Grange care home just in the garden, which is nice. Weeding. They've got a gardener there, but we're assisting him. And they come out usually at coffee time with a tray of coffee and some Victoria sponge cake, which they baked, which is our best reward, really.
Perks of the job.
One of the perks of the job. Yes, I've been part of the Alzheimer's Society in Bicester. They were holding monthly club where, you know, people with dementia would come with their carers, and we'd play a game or have a chat, and it was just about getting them out of the house and giving their carers some support. One of the other jobs I do is a volunteer driver on a regular basis. And that's taking people up to hospital for treatment. Usually those who have life-changing illnesses, such as cancer or renal diseases, and they're going up for radiotherapy, chemotherapy, and the renal dialysis. So that's a regular thing. And yeah, that's what I do on a regular weekly thing. The others I've been involved in lockdown was the Salute the NHS, which was taking part at Bicester Heritage, where they aimed to put 1 million meals together in 3 months to support the nurses back in lockdown when they were doing work in the intensive care units. They would be in the intensive care unit for their 12-hour shift and not able to come out to get their normal breaks or visit the restaurants or whatever. So we pack meals and snack packs and drinks and fruit and stuff, and they went to the hospitals, and we did that for 3 months.
Wow.
And the other thing I'm doing now is that I work at the vaccination centre, marshalling people in, answering a few questions, see if they're fit, or entering data onto the computers.
Wow. Well, we're lucky to have you have some of your time today. It sounds like you've got a pretty full-on schedule.
Yeah, today is an easier day.
So what do you personally get out of volunteering? And what do you think the benefits are for others who are interested in getting involved and volunteering their time?
Volunteering is its own reward. You get a lot out of helping people who just needs sometimes a lift or a phone call or something like that. And it's good for your self-esteem. It certainly makes you feel, build your confidence. And from there, you get a feeling of a satisfaction and a job well done.
And you've been, you know, you've talked a bit about the volunteer driving. That was quite an important role during the pandemic to make sure people were able to get to their appointments and things. And is it right the province supported that charity as well?
They did. They've recently supported them with a donation of £2,000 to provide the PPE, the aprons, the masks and the gloves that are required to help people keep safe and keep the driver safe too. And as a result, they've now got the Oxford Provincial logo on the side of the vehicles with the volunteer driver's logo. So they're pottering and pottering around the province at the moment with that. So it shows that we proudly support a lot of charities and volunteer organisations.
You mentioned the vaccination centres earlier. I think the province have also donated, is it water bottles to the vaccination centres?
They did. I know they donated a lot to the Kassam Stadium, and I was helpful with the provincial charity steward in handing them over to the Bicester Vaccination Centre. There was something like 100 there. We donated out, and the people were very happy and very pleased to see them. Because of the setup, they don't always have access to a quick drink. They get a coffee room, but to be able to have some water on hand and drinking water, they were very appreciative of it.
Yeah, especially with the hot weather as well.
And they do a lot of talking. when they're meeting people, they're chatting with them, putting them at their ease, asking them a few questions and then directing them through. But they can do up to 1,500, 1,600 a day at the Bicester Vax Centre. So it's an awful lot of people to talk to.
Mm. I suppose moving back to your driving as well, you probably do a lot of talking to your the people that you're driving around. I suppose you hear a lot of stories.
Yeah, we usually hear their life story.
Fantastic.
Coming through, or the diseases and their illnesses and the relatives' illnesses and things. There is one grand chap who we pick up and take to regularly to the Churchill Hospital for 3 times a week for renal dialysis, and he's from Iran. And he's a great guy. He's very open. I think he'd make a good mason, and I think he'd also make a good volunteer if he was not so poorly. But he does enjoy his chats, and I phoned him up one day to just liaise with him and say, I'm picking you up in the morning. I'm your VDS driver. No, he says, you're not my driver. He says, you're my brother. You're my friend. He says, we're just going out for a nice trip tomorrow, he says, and we'll, you know, you'll come and pick me up later. And, you know, you're not my driver. You're just my brother, my friend. And he said, you know, you need to tell everyone what a good job you do. He says that not only the patients are very grateful, but also the work you do to help out the ambulance service. And it also helps you to keep off the sofa, he says.
You're not wrong.
And come out with us. He said it's good for you too.
I think that's a really important point, though, as well, about helping the ambulance service, isn't it? Because if you weren't there providing the service, it would fall to the NHS or the local authority to have to transport that patient. So you're really helping to reduce that burden.
Yeah, a lot of the sort of what they call the contract work comes through from South Central Ambulance, as well as the private cash customers, as they call them. The South Central Ambulance, during lockdown, took over all of the transport of people, you know, through the COVID period. But once we started to be released out of lockdown, it came back to the voluntary drivers again. And whilst they were picking up people who needed, you know, transported in because they were poorly and needed urgent treatment.
On top of your volunteer work, I believe you're also patron and active representative of the Teddies for Loving Care. Is that right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I like to support the TLC Teddies because that's another good cause. Mm. You know, I've been associated with the NHS come next February for 50 years.
Wow.
I started off as a nurse in training, and then when I went to work in the prison service, I had great connections as a trained nurse with the local hospitals. And I've been working to some form of care in NHS care ever since. So I've retained that contact. And the TLC Teddies is also another aspect of, you know, as you're aware, that they've reached, I think, their 3 millionth teddy that they've given out to various hospitals and first aid units and, you know, out of hours units. And it's a good thing, you know, to often witness, you know, what a child is like in casualties. And they, just like a teddy. And I was interested in, because I, on the medical side, I watch a lot of these ER programs, you know, the fly on the wall stuff. And I was great to see that in Ireland, there was an army helicopter that was running the paramedics over to this little child who had stopped breathing. And when they arrived there, that the small child had begun breathing on his own again, but they were taking him in this helicopter. So this small child of 4 years old, as you can imagine, was quite intimidated by the big green helicopter, all these people running around in different coloured suits and uniforms and stuff. And the camera was on him when he was in the back of the helicopter, and the doctor was talking to him. And the paramedic leaned forward and said to him, "Do you have teddy bears at home?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Have you brought one with you?" He says, "No." And he produced one of the TLC teddies and gave it to these little boy. And fortunately, I couldn't find the clip to photograph it or anything to show to Roger, because I surely would have been impressed.
But
the little boy, the expression on this little boy's face was phenomenal.
Yeah, I can actually vouch for that firsthand, because when my daughter was in A&E, she had an infection when she was 6 months old, the nurse brought round a teddy bear. And I read on the back, it was donated from Freemasons. I thought it was amazing. Couldn't believe it. Honestly, firsthand experience, but it really does make a difference.
And, you know, if that wasn't enough, Trevor, I think you're also involved in the pantomime project, which I don't think we've mentioned on here before. So could you give the audience a bit of a explainer about what is the pantomime project and how are you involved in it?
The pantomime project takes over the Playhouse in Oxford each December or November time. And they book all the seats for children and their carers with special educational needs and would normally attend a pantomime or a live show because of often their reactions. And they wouldn't feel comfortable in big audiences. So they invite along a number of associations and societies and schools to take part and be in the audience. They are met with 12 quite rough and hairy masons dressed up as dames for the meet and greet and the high five. And they're given often something colourful or something flashing and maybe a couple of sweets and that. And then they're shown down into their seats. And during the performance, a special performance that's usually put on by the theatre for them, and they're allowed to shout and scream and do whatever they want to do in full confidence, knowing that, you know, that people are just around there to help and it's there for their benefit. When they arrive at the seat, they've often got a Santa hat to put on and wear and other bits and pieces. Halftime in the intermission, we give out ice creams too. The dames are giving out ice creams as well as the army of supporters there, which are usually all the wives and that get involved as well. They wear a red fleece and they do everything from ushering the children down into their seats, and they making up a goodie bag at the end. With donated chocolate from, I think it's Calibut in Banbury, as well as sweets and small things that go into you will put in a party bag for them. They have a visit from Santa Claus as well.
It's not you. Not okay.
Me, no, not me. They have another Santa Claus. Well, I'm already dressed up as this gorgeous wench running up and down the side. But they and they leave, and everyone has a good time. It's hard work. It's a year-long round preparation for the day. And when one day's over, then they start thinking about the next one. But that's bringing in a lot of money from the is raised from the membership to actually put that on board, and it takes about £6,000 to put on a performance like that, and they still, as costs go up, so they need more money. So yeah, if they can donate to the Pantomime Project.
Well, you heard it here. If you need to donate, you can speak to Trevor, sure. But I believe the person that runs it, is it Roger Hampshire?
Okay. Yeah, as he runs the TLC Teddies as well.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, I think that sort of demonstrated what Freemasonry can do, and Freemasons, and if that's just one Freemason's journey of volunteering, imagine the bigger picture, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. Thanks very much for sharing your story and all your... and telling us about all of your volunteering ventures.
Yeah.
I think I've just got one more question, really, for you. I don't know if you have, Matt. Well, how many more questions have you got for him? I've got one more.
I might have one more. We'll see what your one is.
Okay, I've got a little thing to say at the end as well.
Have you? Okay. Well, my question is, really, what are you looking forward to most now that Freemasonry is resuming after the COVID pandemic?
To my... mind in Freemasonry is that it is an opportunity to do things that are more with not just Lodge, but also throughout the province and nationally as well, is to begin a big push, not just on recruitment, but also on the way that we do things. It's an opportunity for change. It's an opportunity to look at what we do well, and to promote that, and to bring in new innovations that are coming in, new ideas, and to integrate them into the normal work that we do now. But it's also an opportunity to advertise to the public, you know, what we do and what we do best. And that is not just about giving money, but it is about supporting loads of charities. And one of the things I enjoy doing is the annual charity giving event. It is not just about giving money or just getting people over a cup of coffee, but hearing about what they do, their work in charities, and what they find the difficulties are. And for us to try and help them with a lot of their difficulties, either with money or with manpower. We had a good opportunity that one of the charities that we support is the SNAP, which is the newborn babies project at the JR. As well as donating money, the organiser invited us over to help with the tea trolley round. And that was great. We spent an hour and a half with a lady with a tea trolley. And what it demonstrated was that it was her way of supporting the parents of the children. The medical staff looked after the babies, but she looked after the health and welfare of the parents. And a lot of the parents come from around the country because it's a national resource. And it was a way in to sort of getting in chat with them by just saying, as she went around, would you like a cup of tea and or a biscuit or something? And then she got her way in to say, well, you know, how are things? How are you traveling? Do you need some support? And things like that. And that's sort of a good method. You know, I don't suggest that we go and have a cup of tea with all the charities, but there may be, you know, it's a way of we make contact and work with them. They know what work we do and we know what we work to do, but maybe more of the public should understand more about Freemasonry side, not the negative side that they read in the press or on, you know, social media.
So it's fair to say having that more face-to-face social contact with everybody and anybody is really, really what we're all looking forward to, I suppose, moving forward.
Sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned right at the start the lodge that you're a member of, and now things are starting to get back to normal. Do you want to give Exemplo Ducamus a bit of a plug? When and where do you meet?
Well, we meet on Saturday mornings, and our next meeting is on the 25th of September. We have an installation then, although it's just bouncing the master into another year, you know, really, because of like the COVID problems. It's giving him a year when he can do some work. and that's taking place, and we meet about four times a year on a Saturday morning. We often have a virtual group come and join us of mainly ex-military police who have formed their own lodge virtually, and they come along and visit. It can be quite a happy time, particularly afterwards at the board, and they really enjoy it, and they make it a big event for us. So yeah, if you want to come along, I don't know if they're coming this year because of the COVID restrictions, but we've got a meeting on the 25th.
Thanks, Trevor. I think the only thing left to say now is thanks so much for taking your time out on a Sunday morning to be here with us to record this podcast.
No, it's been great. Thank you very much for coming along and sharing your story with us.
Can I just add one more thing?
Of course you can.
It's been a pleasure to come along and talk to you about the aspects of volunteering. But the one thing that I think that stands out is with volunteering, it's time well spent. And that what people should think about is that it's not, you know, I don't have time or I've never thought of it before. When you finally make that step and start volunteering, you'll get a lot of reward from it.
Brilliant. I think that's a perfect note to end on.
I think so.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you all soon.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this edition. If you did, please share and pass it on to your friends. Join Matt and Andy next time discussing all things Freemasonry here on the world-famous Oxfordshire Light Blues podcast. Oxfordshire Light Blues podcast.